Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, June the 8th, and we've got a lot of racing to preview here tonight on our show, and we hope our listeners enjoy our discussion here. And I'm going to welcome right now our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sharon. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Actually, I've got the K&N Pro Series Memphis race on the TV, but it's on mute, just so I can keep an eye on the action, because I think that's going to be a pretty good race. And I hope everybody's taping that so that you can watch it a little bit later while you listen to our show now. But let me go over our agenda for tonight, because we've got quite a few races to preview here on our weekend preview. And during our first half hour here, Jay, we're going to preview the K&N Pro Series West that is racing at Colorado National Speedway this weekend. You might recall that's the hometown track for Chris Eggleston. He was the winner at Orange Show Speedway, their last outing in the K&N West, and he's hoping to do what he did last year and come back and get a second victory here at his home state track of Colorado National this weekend. So we'll talk more about that during the preview. And then after that, we'll get into the Camping World Truck Series. They're not at Pocono this weekend with the Xfinity and Cup Series. They're actually at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. So we'll do a preview for the Camping World Truck Series as well during that first half hour. Then coming up in our 9 to 9:30. Go ahead.
I was going to say both of those should be good races.
Yes, I think they will be too. I think they're both going to be pretty exciting. Then during the next half hour, our preview is going to cover the ARCA Racing Series and the Xfinity Series. Both of those races will be at Pocono, so we'll talk about those two races during that second half hour. And then our last half hour, 9:30 to 10 p.m., we're going to talk about the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Pocono Raceway. We'll get into the penalty report from this week from Dover. And then if time allows, we'll try to hit on some other new hot topics from the weekend, from the week as well. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our K&N Pro Series at Colorado National. It's going to be a fun race to watch. I know Chris Eggleston's been looking forward to this one. He made his debut at Colorado National, his track, and has done quite well every time he goes out there. In fact, it's what got the attention for him to be a member of the Bill McAnally Racing Organization. Chris Eggleston's actually from Erie, Colorado, so this is kind of his home track, and he's fresh off his second win of the season. You remember he won the season opener, and then he won the last time out at Orange Show Speedway. So what are your thoughts about Chris Eggleston this weekend, Jay?
Well, the statistics, you know, back it up. He's got four starts there, two of whom are wins, three top fives. So I think he's definitely looking to chip into that lead that Todd Gillen, and it's not much because he's run right there with him, only an 11-point difference between the two in the point standing. So I think he's looking to chip away at that just a little bit more.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Chris Eggleston sees this as a huge opportunity for him. And then all of that depends, of course, on what Todd Gilliland does at Colorado National. As we all know, Todd Gilliland, first, Chris Eggleston's going to be in the number 99 for Bill McAnally Racing, but also racing with Bill McAnally in the number 16 car is going to be Todd Gilliland. He's won 6 of 14 races last season with 11 top fives and 13 top tens, while taking that Can-Am West championship and becoming the youngest champion in NASCAR Touring Series history. He was just 16 years, 5 months, and he's a third-generation driver. A lot of folks out there in the West remember Butch Gilliland, his grandfather, who's also a Can-Am West champion from 1997. The other thing that Todd's done this year, Jay, is he won the first 5 pole awards of the season, along with 4 straight races, California's Kern County Raceway Park, Irwindale twice, and then at Spokane County Raceway, he's won. So he's got 5 top 5s, 6 top 10s in 6 races this season. Right now he's leading the point standings, but like you say, Chris Eggleston is right on his heels, nipping at him as they go into Colorado National this weekend. So that's going to be an interesting battle between those two drivers. Gilliland has finished 2nd after winning the pole at Colorado last season and his only career start at that track. As we all know, he is a NASCAR Next member in the new class that was just recently announced as well. So who's going to come out on top, do you think, between Eggleston and Gilliland? Is Gilliland going to really go after it?
I think if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd go with Eggleston. I think he knows that track. Like you said, it's a hometown track for him. He's been really good there. I think Eggleston will come out ahead of that battle.
Okay, so definitely keep your eyes on those two cars in this race. Now, I just want to remind everybody, this race is actually going to be played out. It's the Napa Toyota 150 at Colorado National Speedway on Saturday, June the 10th, starting at 8:15 p.m. Mountain Time, which is going to be 11:15 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're up at that time and you want to follow along with the action, you can go to Race Central at NASCAR Home Track's website, and they do a great job of keeping everybody up to date with what's going on. The air date on NBCSN is actually Thursday, June 15th. Set your DVRs for that because that's going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and you'll be able to watch that full race, just like we're watching the Memphis race here tonight. So they do a great job of providing the coverage. Any other drivers you're watching this week for this weekend?
For that race, yeah. Also, Michael Self. Again, he missed the season opener.
Yes.
But has been top 10 every race since. Again, it's tough to catch up with somebody that's finishing in the top 5 every week. You know, there's so many spots. But I think he's going to be one to watch as well.
Yeah, a lot of people remember Michael Self raced in the Can-Am Pro Series just a couple years ago. In the meantime, he's been coaching some of the other Can-Am drivers and even working with some of the Xfinity Series teams in NASCAR. Michael was one of those drivers that was one of the first drivers from the Can-Am West to win at the combo race that takes place every year at Iowa Speedway. And that was a big deal when he did that at Iowa a few years ago. So, Michael Self is a very accomplished driver, and I definitely see him. I agree with you. I think he's going to do very well this weekend at Colorado National. Another driver that I think fans should keep their eye on is Derek Kraus. First of all, Michael Self's going to be in the number 9 Sinclair Ford. Derek Kraus is in the number 19 car. He's another Bill McAnally driver. He's a rookie this season, but he's been doing great things so far. Right now, he's 3rd in the series point standings. He has 3 top 5s and 4 top 10s in 6 races. His best finish this season, it was in March at Kern County Raceway. And even though this is going to be his first start at Colorado National, I think he's got a lot of team support at Bill McAnally Racing. And I think we're seeing that with his results. For a rookie to be third in the series point standings at this stage of the game, I think we've got a lot to look forward to with Derek Krause. So keep your eye on him this weekend as well.
Then you also got fourth in points is Nicole Behar. She's got a fourth place finish and a sixth place finish, four top tens. She's putting together a quiet but solid season again with the two top guys just dominating. You know, it's tough to tell how good you are, but she's opened the year with five straight top tens with a season best finish of fourth at Irwindale, was inside the top 10 before a crash ended her night early at Orange Hill. So, and with one career start at Colorado, she finished ninth.
Right. And Nicole Behar again, she kind of took some time off last season. She's coming back full-time this season, and she'll be in the number 33 car this weekend. And I got to tell you, she definitely is a driver to keep your eye on in this K&N Pro Series. Another driver to keep your eye on is another female, Julia Landauer. She's going to be in the number 6 Sunrise Ford. And she finished fourth in the final point standings last season to become the highest finishing female driver in K&N Pro Series West history. Right now, she's eighth in the point standings for this season. She's got three top tens in six races, so she's not off to her best start necessarily, but we all know that Julia Landauer is a talented driver. She made a team change. She was racing with Bill McAnally Racing last season. This season, she's with that Sunrise Ford team with Bob Brucati. So I think what we're seeing here for Julia Landauer is just an adjustment of changing teams. And as the season progresses, I think we're going to be seeing her do really, really well. If you look at what she did at Colorado last season, she finished sixth in this race in her only career start at that track. So I think Julia Landauer is also a driver to watch this weekend.
All in all put together again, I think it's going to be a great, great race.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's one of those do not miss races because, and we've mentioned this before, the point standings in this K&N West is pretty interesting. We've talked about there being just 11 points between Todd Gilliland in first and Chris Eggleston in second. But Derek Krause is actually third in the series point standings. He's at 217 points. Nicole Behar is right behind him, 212, just 5 points behind Derek Krause. Behind them is another rookie, Will Rogers, and he might be a driver to watch this weekend as well, along with Cody Vanderwall, because Will Rogers is fifth in the point standings at 207. That's just, what, 5 points behind Nicole, and just 3 points behind Will Rogers is Cody Vanderwall. And then you've got Blaine Perkins. Again, he's just 4 points behind Cody. So these point standings are very, very close. And as I go down this list here, all the way down, it's just a few points between them looking at the top 11 drivers. And that's actually Michael Self, who hasn't raced. He's only raced five of the six races. He's actually tied for that 10th spot with Matt Levin. So really, really great stuff happening in this K&N Pro Series point standings.
Yeah, and that's one of those, again, like I said, with those top two, you know, running 1-2 almost every week, you know, the gap from to third is where there's a little bit of a jump. But after that, it's wide open. You could go from 10th up to third, you know, in 1-2 races.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Which makes it that much more fun, I think, for race fans to keep an eye on what's going out there in the K&N West. So who's your? You've already told me, really. I think you're going with Chris Eggleston for this weekend, right?
Between him and Gilliland, yeah. And I think overall, again, it happened to take one of those two going with Eggleston. But I think he might be right. Kraus might be one to keep an eye on. He's one of those that just each week he's getting that little bit better. You know, he's running right there with these guys, so he would be my dark horse if you can call him that.
Well, and keep in mind, his teammates are Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland. So he's got great support as a rookie within that Bell McAnally Racing organization. So, yeah, I definitely think he's one of the drivers to keep your eye on. And to your point, I think he's a great one to pick if you're looking for a dark horse this weekend and a first-time winner. But I also think Todd Gilliland is going after it this weekend. Since you picked Chris Eggleston, which I agree with that pick, by the way, but I am going to pick Todd Gilliland because I do think he's going to try to get another win under his belt here at Colorado National. But he's going to have to get through Chris Eggleston without a doubt.
So, oh no, we think it's going to come out of that team because then the dark horse would be Kraus.
Exactly. So, Bill McAnally, they do such a great job with their teams out there in the Can-Am Pro Series. Now, let's go ahead and move on to our Camping World Truck Series. They are racing out at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend, Friday, June 9th. Pre-race coverage starts at 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. They'll also be on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR radio. And the name of the race is the WinStarOnlineGaming.com. They'll be racing 250.5 miles, over 167 laps, 40-lap increments between Stage 1 and Stage 2. The final stage, so Stage 1 ends on 40, Stage 2 on 80, and the final stage is going to end on the last lap, which is 167. So just a little heads up there. Sauter came home with a victory last week at the Monster Mile. This is about when his season started heating up last year. It was kind of fun to see Johnny Sauter and his teammate, Gaz Grala, going for that win last week.
Oh, without a doubt. Again, there's one where you got a team that's their third Camping World Truck Series win for that GMS racing team, with Kaz Grala winning at Daytona,
yes.
Chase Elliott in the truck winning in Atlanta, and now Johnny Sauter taking one there at Dover. So that team is firing on all cylinders right now.
They really are, and the thing that's amazing about this is they're a relatively new team in the Camping World Truck Series. So to see them doing so well and with so many great drivers, I think this was a great move for Johnny Sauter to move into GMS Racing, not only for Johnny Sauter, but for the drivers that are part of that GMS Racing team. I think it's helped them as well. So really going to be fun to watch these guys this weekend. And Kaz Grala is proving that he's a good student and getting better all the time as you watch him from race to race. But another driver to keep an eye on is Crafton. The two-time champion in the Camping World Truck Series and also his brother Ryan Truex have both won first stages this season at Dover International. Truex won stage one last week. He finished 10th in the race, but it helped him surge up three spots in the point standings from 9th to 6th. And that goes to your point that you made earlier in the Can-Am Pro Series, that these drivers can make big moves when the points are so close like they are. And that's what Truex did at Dover. Crafton won stage two at Dover. He finished 11th, just behind Ryan Truex, and has been steady at third in the series point standings and has yet to finish outside the top 16 this season through six races. Do you kind of get a feeling, though, that Matt Crafton is kind of behind the curve a little bit this season?
You know, they did an interview with that of they have been. They certainly haven't been to the level they were at last year. They don't know if it had to do with their the fire they had at their team shop or whatever, but they just haven't quite been on that top notch that they were last year. So I think as the season goes, that team's going to get back together, Thor Sport Motorsport.
Absolutely. He's a veteran. He's been through these kind of things before, and he knows how to bring it up to the next level. So definitely watch for that from Crafton. And I will say it's really good to see Ryan Truex doing so great this year in the Camping World Truck Series as well. Now, again, at Dover, Austin Cindric, he's a rookie contender this year, had his best series finish at Dover, finishing fifth. That was a really strong finish for him. In the last five races, he's had two top tens, and in the last three races, a fifth at Dover and a tenth at Kansas, as far as the two top tens in the last three races. He races with Brad Keselowski Racing. He's third in the Rookie of the Year points behind Kaz Grala and Grant Infinger. Now, between those three drivers, there's just 11 points. So that's another point standings that I think we're going to see it mix up as the season goes on here, because all of these drivers are really, really good and would love to be that Rookie of the Year.
As you're talking about that, there's eight Sunoco Rookie of the Year contenders making their track debut at Texas Speedway in Friday night's Camping World Truck Series. Windstar Online Gaming 400, that would include Chase Briscoe, Wendell Chavez, Austin Cindric, Grant Infinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, and then Kaz Grala.
Absolutely. And also, don't forget, Maya Snyder is going to be making his track debut this weekend in the number 51 Kyle Busch Motorsports Toyota as well. So we've talked with Maya, and I think he's going to have this is a great debut for him in this series. He is the son, by the way, of Marty Snyder. That we've seen on television as a pit reporter for NASCAR. So really a lot of fun to watch Maya's career blossom and to see him now here in the Camping World Truck Series. Now, five straight different race winners at Texas. Johnny Sauter won last fall. He's trying to make it two in a row. William Byron won in the summer of 2016. Eric Jones last in the fall of 2015, Matt Crafton in the summer of 2015, and then Kyle Busch was the winner in the fall of 2014. So do you think that trend's going to continue, or are we going to see a different winner this weekend at Texas?
Yeah, I do. Kyle Busch isn't running. Crafton, the one that I see there that might be the repeat would be Johnny Sauter. I mean, because Crafton just isn't quite – on his game yet. So I think it's a high probability. Looking at statistic wise, you'd have to think it's going to be a Toyota driver. They've won four of the last five races and seven of the last 10 Camping World Truck Series races at Texas Motor Speedway. So if you're betting the statistics, Toyota would be the brand to pick.
Absolutely. And Toyota's are really good in the Camping World Truck Series, as is Kyle Busch Motorsports. So definitely drivers to keep your eyes on. Now, some other drivers. Ben Rhodes has been moving up the series point standings like crazy. He scored his second top five of the season at Dover with a fourth-place finish. That finish bumped Rhodes from fifth in the Camping World standings to fourth, and that marks his third race this season where he led at least 20 laps or more. I really like what I'm seeing from Ben Rhodes this year. He's really coming to life, and the path that he took to get here has been an interesting one. When you think, you know, he raced 10 races in the Xfinity Series a couple years ago with Junior Motorsports, and then he came in and raced in the Camping World Truck Series last season, getting his feet wet there. And this season, he's figured it all out. This is his second time to some of these tracks, and it shows in his results. I really look for him to have a breakthrough win at some time. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rhodes isn't the guy that is the next winner at Pocono.
He's certainly, I mean, he's been knocking on the door again. You know, you get Kyle Busch in victory lane saying, hey, I got beat tonight. I just ended up in victory lane. he put on a show there at Charlotte and had the engine problem, you know, and he was right back at it again last week. His win's coming. It's not going to be long.
I agree. And then, unfortunately, we talked about Todd Gilliland in the Can-Am Pro Series. He's racing both East and West. He raced the Camping World Truck Series last week, but he ran into a little bit of troubles, and he was taken out of the race after, but a loose wheel ended up creating some damage on his car, number 46 for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and he ended up with a 20th place finish. So due to no fault of his own, but I think Todd Gilliland was showing some really good talent in that Camping World Truck Series race at Dover as well.
Another one that did in that same race, Harrison Burton, he happened to score a top 15. NASCAR next driver got his second top 15 in the Camping World Truck Series by finishing 13th in Kyle Busch's number 51. He finished 13th earlier this season at Martinsville. And I talked to both of these guys at Memphis for the K&N Pro Series East. You know, they were both really upbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, Todd obviously didn't have the finish, but his performance in the truck, getting settled into the truck and how he ran, you know, they were both upbeat. And again, we've talked about this. We're going to see them in these top series sooner rather than later, and they're going to run well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Again, the point standings is something to keep your eye on. Johnny Sauter is leading those points. Christopher Bell up in second. Matt Crafton is third. Ben Rhodes, we talked about, just moved up into fourth place. Chase Briscoe moved back to fifth place. Now, we'll talk about this later, but he was part of the penalty report from Dover, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. Ryan Truex really made a big jump. He went from ninth up to sixth place. Grant Infinger is seventh, and Kaz Grala, Sunoco rookie, rounds out that Camping World Truck Series top eight drivers. And remember, it's the top eight drivers in the Camping World Truck Series that go into the playoffs at the end of their regular season.
And as that relates to the owner standings, it's GMS Racing's number 21 took the sizable lead now in the owner standings with a win and leads Kyle Busch Motorsports number 4 by 52 points and the number 51 Toyota by 56 points. Now, that 51 has had multiple different drivers, so that one's a little bit different than the driver standings because that 51 is getting points by multiple drivers. Thor Sports, number 88, driven by Matt Crafton, and then the number 27 are fourth and fifth, respectively, in the points.
Absolutely. So a few of us do follow the owner standings. You know, they're a huge part of this team, these teams. You know, I think it's great to follow that. The other standings is between Toyota, Ford, and Chevrolet. And Chevrolet and Toyota, it's like they're trading paint on the track here between who's going to be at the top of that manufacturer point standings. Both of them have three wins, but Chevrolet is leading Toyota by just 1 point in the manufacturer standings, 224 to 223. So that's how close that point standings is. Ford is in third place with 175 points. And so far this season, they have not had a win yet in the 2017 season. So that's something to keep your eye on with regard to the Ford drivers at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. So who's your pick to win?
Well, we just talked about him. I think Ben Rhodes has a shot at it. Again, he's been so close in the last couple of weeks, been running so well. But also, being that you talked about Ford not having their win yet, throw Chase Briscoe out there too. Again, he's right there as well. You know, got to get over that little hump. We'll see how the penalty affects them that we'll talk about. But I put Ben Rhodes and Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, those are two great picks. I love the story behind Chase Briscoe. When I think about just a couple of years ago, he was sweeping the floors at Cunningham Motorsports in the ARCA Racing Series. He went on the following year to race the ARCA Racing Series and win the championship. And now this is the next year, his second year in racing, and he is, you know, doing so well in this Camping World Truck Series as well. And for you to say that he's a potential winner in this race is really cool. Now, here's the thing, though, about the Pocono Raceway. They don't call it the tricky triangle for no reason. It's a tricky racetrack for a lot of these drivers. And the problem at Pocono is that the corners are all so different. Setting up your car to be able to run all of those corners, all three corners of the triangle, is the big challenge for those drivers. So, and it's more challenging for the rookies than it is for the seasoned veteran drivers. But I agree with you. I think Briscoe's got a good team behind him. Rhodes has been knocking on that door. He's raced at Pocono before, so this is not a new track for him. But I think the veterans are going to be going after it this weekend too. And I think it kind of leans more toward the veterans again at this track at Pocono, with it being the tricky triangle. But I'd love to see a first time winner here.
Well, and that's great about the truck series, is you never know when you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here to the ARCA Racing Series. They're going to be racing the General Tire Anywhere Is Possible 200, and that's going to take place on June the 9th at 5:30 p.m., and they are racing at Pocono Raceway. So today's the 8th, tomorrow, Friday, is the 9th. So definitely keep your eye on this race. They are, I'm trying to see if they're, I believe they're on TV again this weekend on Fox Sports 1. You'll be able to watch that race. So definitely tune in there. But if you're not by the TV, you can still follow all of the racing action over at ARCARacing.com, where they have live timing and scoring. They've got a great chat room there, where fans can chat throughout the race and cheer their drivers on. So definitely check that out. As I look at the entry list here, who's the driver you think? I'm going to say Austin Terrio, coming off of a win at Ken Schrader Racing from last weekend. Definitely a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He'll be in the number 52, and he is racing a Ford.
There are so many. This is one of those that there are so many, and some of them are you know, veterans or at least been around racing for a while, and then there's some that are rookies and getting their feet wet. You know, the championship battle between Dalton Sargeant and Austin Terrio, but I'm still following Gus Dean. In 13 starts, he's had one win. In his second start at Talladega in 16, and now he's got three top fives and seven top tens in those 13 starts. And he was fourth fastest in practice this morning and coming off of four consecutive top tens. So,
yeah, I think that's fantastic. I'm going to say, though, another driver to keep your eye on this weekend, Ty Majestic. He's just incredible when it comes to late model racing. When he gets behind the wheel, you can look for him to be going after that victory. He's from Seymour, Wisconsin. He's a very, very talented driver. And in that number 99 car, it's not going to surprise me if he's not up there competing with the leaders for that victory. out there this weekend at Pocono. But again, it is not a rookie track. So, but I do think that Ty Majeski has a lot of talent.
And he was, I believe, third in practice. So he was right there in those top five. One that's jumping in here for a one-off deal is Brandon Jones was fastest in practice, driving the number eight. Yeah, there we go. Number eight for Doug Fuller, Chevrolet. And he's from Atlanta, Georgia, and picked up new sponsor Anderson's Pure Maple Syrup.
Yeah, Brandon Jones is a great driver. We followed him since his K&N Pro Series days, and he's a great person. I really hope he does a great race out there at Pocono this weekend in the Sarca Racing Series. I think, you know, he's been racing some in the Campaign Wheel Truck Series, as well as the Xfinity Series. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for him racing the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. So definitely keep your eye on him. Another driver that's coming back into the ARCA Racing Series, he's racing with Bill Venturini, Venturini Motorsports this weekend, and that's Spencer Davis in the number 15 car for them. Another talented driver that we have a chance of seeing some really good things from him this weekend as well.
That's right, and he's in the second of a seven-race deal with him. He finished third at Talladega, so he's definitely one to watch. Again, we talk about this every week, it seems like, when you talk ARCA, Venturini Motorsports is at the top of the list, you know, so.
Yes, they're the Bill McAnally Racing of the K&N Pro Series.
Yes, that's right.
The Venturinis. The Bill Venturinis of ARCA, the Venturini Motorsports of ARCA. Okay, Natalie Decker is back from Eagle River, Wisconsin. She's going to be in the number 25 Venturini car this weekend, and it'll be great to see what she does this weekend as well. And we talked about Michael Self earlier racing in the K&N Pro Series. He's also racing at Pocono Speedway this weekend, in the number 28 car for MDM Motorsports. So a lot to look forward to from Michael Self this weekend.
Like I said, this series is one that, again, the combination of quality of driver, you know, from young, just getting started, to guys, some of the guys that have been there. Another one that's coming back for Mason Mitchell in the number 78 is Kyle Weatherman from Wentzville, Missouri. He was six in practice. He's always one to keep your eye on in the ARCA series.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's a very talented driver. He's in a great car. That was a championship-winning car, the number 78. So definitely keep your eye on him. We mentioned Dalton Sargeant just a little briefly. He's always a contender. But another one is Zane Smith. Again, in a Venturini car this weekend, the number 55 car. Keep your eye on him this weekend out there at Pocono as well.
And they were ninth and tenth in practice, I believe. Yes, Zane Smith in the 55 was ninth in practice. Dalton Sargeant was tenth in practice. And then Shane Lee was 11th in practice, number 22, Ford, and believe he is what, third in points? Where's my point sheet? Yeah, he's sitting third in the points.
Yeah, I know he's doing really well.
I think the only one out of the top five in points that we hadn't talked about is Riley Herbst. He's in the 18
yeah.
NOS Energy UFC gym for Coy Gibbs, for Gibbs Racing from Las Vegas, Nevada. Another one out of the NASCAR Next. He picked up his first career pole at Elko last weekend, and he was seventh in practice.
Yeah, so definitely keep your eye on Riley Herbst. You mentioned he's a NASCAR Next driver for this newest class, and had a really good race at Elko. I think Riley Herbst is starting to come into his own as he's been racing, I think, just about all of the ARCA Racing Series events. So definitely keep your eye on that. Don Thompson from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, one of the Pennsylvania drivers this weekend, racing in the number zero car. I'm looking, another Pennsylvania driver is going to be Steve Fox in the number three car. And another one, Bobby Gerhart, a big name in the ARCA Racing Series. He's in the number five car. He's from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. So keep your eye there. Going down the list here, Dan Bainey in the number 07 from Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, is racing this weekend. And then you've got Tony Makrovich in the number 11 car from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. So there's quite a few Pennsylvania drivers racing this weekend, and a couple of New York drivers on this list.
I'm talking about the range of that. Looking at when I pulled up stats for the ARCA guys at Pocono, a lot of them have three, four, maybe five starts. Bobby Gerhart has 55 races. One we didn't mention is eighth in points is Brad Smith is next at 29. The next closest is 13, 12, 11 of guys that have starts at ARCA or starts at Pocono in the ARCA series. So. Again, Bobby Gerhart obviously knows that track, and he is, as you mentioned, one of the Pennsylvania drivers.
Absolutely, and you know that those drivers are going to have their own hometown crowd out there at the track cheering them on this weekend as well. So it's a pretty long list here in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. Some of the other drivers we haven't mentioned yet, Bobby Dale Earnhardt in the number 96 car. Con Nikolopoulos. I know I just butchered that name. I apologize, Con. He's going to be in the number 88 car this weekend for Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Nick Higdon is in the number 69 car this weekend. He's driving for Bill Kimmel. So look for him to be in that car. Then Frankie Kimmel is going to be in the number 57 car this weekend. Another driver to keep your eye on. John Ferrier and the number 46 car. That's a Ford. Vinnie Miller from Michigan. He'll be in the number 41 car. And Justin Fontaine is back again this weekend in the number 33 car. And actually also in the number 34 car is Mike Basham. So quite a few drivers that we don't normally mention are on this list this weekend. Another one, M. Ed Pompa in the number 10 car. Cody Rohrbaugh in the number 7. Sheldon Creed, yeah, go ahead.
Yep, Sheldon Creed making a very rare start. Was fifth in practice, and you mentioned Cody Rohrbaugh in the number 7. He was second in practice, so these guys are making the most of the few starts that they get.
They sure are, and I think we're going to see another big race here with these guys. It's great that it's going to be on FS1. Remember, this race is tomorrow night, right around that 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're not going to be by the TV, set the DVR and watch it when you can sit down. Again, if you're not by the TV and you want to follow along with the live timing and scoring, just head on over to ARCARacing.com. Top five in series point standings. We have Austin Terrio, the race winner from last weekend, the race winner at Daytona, followed by Dalton Sargeant. Then Shane Lee in third place, Riley Herbst in fourth, and your favorite guy, Gus Dean, in fifth place.
Yeah, I mean, of those, like you say, I'm definitely a fan of Dalton Sargeant and Gus Dean. If I were to pick one, though, out of that, or not out of that group, I think that Kyle Weatherman, like I said, when he's in an ARCA race, he's one you got to watch. I think I'm going to go with him in that 78 for Mason Mitchell.
Ooh, that's a great pick there with Kyle Weatherman. He is a very, very talented driver. And the fact that he's had experience at Pocono before is really in his favor. I think the driver I'm going to say is going to come up with the win this weekend is going to be number 28, Michael Self. Again, he's got some experience at Pocono, and he's going to be in an MDM Motorsports car, which we know those cars are very, very good in the ARCA Racing Series as well as the Can-Am Pro Series. So I think Michael Self might come home with the win this weekend.
It's definitely possible. Again, I think I have mine set, DVR set already to record it.
That's a good idea. Okay, with that, I think we're ready to move on to the Xfinity Series. They're racing the Pocono Green 250 on Saturday, June the 10th. And Fox Sports 1, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio will all start their coverage at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The green flag should wave sometime around 1 o'clock. They're racing 250 miles, 100 laps. And the first two stages are 25-segment stages. Stage 1 ends at lap 25, stage 2 on lap 50, and, of course, the final stage is going to end on the last lap, which is lap 100. So let's look at this Xfinity Series. And I'll tell you what, they say this is a series where names are made. There's a lot of drivers that are making a name for themselves this year in this series.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Over the last several years, you know, you look at Eric Jones and Chase Elliott having coming up, and that's where they established who they were.
Uh-huh. So, and Darrell Wallace Jr. is racing. There was big news that came out about him this week. He's racing the Cup Series in the iconic number 43 for Richard Petty Motorsports this weekend, taking the seat for Eric Almirola, who's recovering from that back injury that he sustained a few weeks ago. So this is a big opportunity for Darrell, but one of the things you got to watch is any news of where he might be racing once he finishes Eric Almirola comes back to take his seat in that number 43 car. Right now, he does not have a home, so he's, I'm sure, looking at other opportunities where he might be racing once we get past, you know, the this race and you know, giving him an opportunity to show what he can do, not only in the Xfinity Series, but in that Cup Series.
When we had talked about this already from the beginning of the year, that they only had 10 races covered, it was supposed to run through Charlotte. I think when they picked up that mellow yellow, that gave them that one more race. So we unfortunately knew this was kind of coming in the Xfinity. Obviously, we hate to see something like what happened with Eric Almirola, but to see Darrell Wallace get an opportunity to step in and showcase his talent in such an iconic ride, I think is going to be good for NASCAR as a whole.
I would agree. I think it is good for NASCAR as a whole. But it is sad to see a team shut their doors because when you think about these teams, it's not just the race car driver. It's all the people that are supporting him back at the shop in a multitude of ways. Those folks end up losing their jobs as well. And that's always a sad thing when you see a team close down like that. Let's hope that they can get the sponsorship they need to kind of come back and make a run at it in that number 6 car for Roush Fenway Racing.
I was going to say, the good news there is that they called it a suspension. They did not call it a shutdown. It was called a suspension. So they are still trying to work it. Yep. Yeah. They were pretty clear on that they weren't shutting it down. It was a suspension. So hopefully there's good news there, that we're waiting on good news. It just hasn't come yet.
Okay. So we'll wait we'll wait and see what happens for Darrell Wallace Jr. Over these next few weeks. But I think, again, this is a great opportunity for him up here in the Cup Series. And again, we're seeing that ladder system within NASCAR really work well.
Yeah, when you talk about it, three of the 11 Xfinity champions in the past few years have gone on to win a title in the Monster Energy. They include Brad Keselowski in 2012, Kevin Harvick in 2014, and Kyle Busch in 2015. And right now, we got four Sunoco rookies in the top 10 through 11 races. That wave of young drivers are showing their merit as they battle. Junior Motorsports, William Byron is presently sitting third in the standings, 57 points behind fellow teammates Elliott Sadler and Justin Allgaier. He's got two top fives, six top tens, and an average finish of 13.1. And this will be his track debut at Pocono this weekend, however.
Okay, so watch those rookies out there at Pocono Raceway. This is great experience for those guys. We talked about it being more of a veterans track, but some of these guys are really going to surprise us, I think, with what they can do out on the track at Pocono Raceway this weekend. And definitely there are several drivers. Richard Childress Racing's Daniel Hemric. You've got Joe Gibbs Racing, Matt Tift. You've got Cole Custer. I was really impressed with his race at Dover. He's been working really hard to get up there, and he's done it. And you got to give him a lot of credit because he's coming from Ladera Ranch, California. And I think we're going to see great things from him. But keep in mind, this is going to be Custer's track debut at Pocono this weekend. He made one start in the Camping World Truck Series, but this is going to be his first start in the Xfinity Series at Pocono. And last season when he raced the Cup Series, he had a fifth-place finish at that track. So I look for Cole Custer to bring that experience with him this weekend to this Pocono event.
Well, and he's sitting 10th in points, and for them to come in when Stuart Haas made the switch to Ford and all of a sudden decided to develop an Xfinity team, and they picked him with what he's done this year to establish that team for them as a feeder system for their Cup Series team, you know, I think that shows his talent as a driver to be able to bring a new team like that at that level right out the gate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, it's interesting to see how a lot of these young teams are doing just that. They're coming right out of the gate and doing well. But let's talk about Chip Ganassi Racing, because over the last several years, we haven't heard a lot from that organization. Kyle Larson came into the organization, and it seemed like things that started the ship turning for Chip Ganassi Racing. But not only is Kyle Larson doing well, you've also got his teammate, Jamie McMurray, is not doing that badly as well. But Kyle Larson took the victory at Pocono Raceway. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does this season and if he's able to defend that title there. But he's also coming off a victory at Dover last weekend, so he's got a lot of momentum on his side coming into Pocono this weekend.
Well, he's going to have to contend. There's a couple others, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series drivers, that'll be doing the double duty. Paul Menard will be in the number two for Richard Childress. Ty Dillon will be in the number three. Daniel Suarez is in, I don't know which of the Joe Gibbs cars, but he's obviously in one of the Joe Gibbs cars. And Brad Keselowski will also be driving in the Xfinity Series this weekend.
Okay, so that's going to be really great to watch. And these are all drivers to keep your eye on out there at Pocono Raceway in this series. These guys, I think the stage racing has really made this Xfinity Series a lot better, a lot more fun to watch. And keep in mind, you've got all these drivers that are on the bubble because it's 12 drivers that move on to the playoffs here in the Xfinity Series. The drivers that are on the outside looking in right now are J.J. Yeley, Ryan Sieg, Brennan Gaughan, and Brandon Jones. We just talked about Brandon Jones racing in the ARCA Racing Series. I bet he's doing that to get that seat time to help him in here in the Xfinity Series. I'm sure he wants to get up there in that top 12. So that seat time is going to mean a lot for Brandon Jones.
Yeah, without a doubt. You got a couple that are further out that were championship contenders last year that are looking for a big hill to climb now. Ryan Sieg and Brandon Gaughan as well. Excuse me. With the cutoff only being 12, all three of those participated in the playoffs last year, but these three are on the outside of the top 12. Ryan Sieg finished this 2016 season in ninth in the final playoff standings. Obviously a career best for Sieg in that organization. Right now he's currently 14th, 33 points back from 12th place Dakota Armstrong. And this season he's only posted four top tens and an average finish of 21.5. Now last season at Pocono, he started 15th and finished 29th.
Ouch. Yeah, that's not good. But, you know, all these guys look to come back to these tracks and improve on their position from what they did last year. So those kind of years are years where you learn something that you bring back and do better the next season or the next time you're at that track. Another Kyle that we're going to see this weekend in the Xfinity Series is Kyle Benjamin. He's been racing for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's another one of those rising stars. In the Joe Gibbs Racing Stable. He'll be in the number 20 car in this Xfinity Series. His crew chief is Chris Gabehart, and we know how successful he's been with that number 20 car. Benjamin made his series debut at Richmond earlier this season. He started second, was running up front for most of the race until there was a late race incident that put him back into 32nd place finish. But the fact that he was running so well before that happened is a big deal. Now, we mentioned earlier that there's going to be a driver that's filling in for Eric Almirola in that number 43 car. And all of a sudden, that name's escaping me right now.
Casey Mears.
Well, Casey Mears is in it this weekend, but, Darrell Wallace Jr. Is going to be in it after that. But this weekend, I was going to make that point. It's not going to be Darrell Wallace Jr. in that number 43 car this week. It's going to be Casey Mears that will be driving that car this weekend in that Xfinity Series.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Casey Mears is in the Xfinity number 98 for Eric Almirola.
Right. I was just going to make that correction.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually the Fred Biagi racing team that is racing in the Xfinity Series. And as Jay just mentioned, Mears is going to be in the number 88 for Biagi Dembest Racing. And that's a Ford this weekend at Pocono Raceway. And he has one top 10 and an average finish of 20.5 at that track. So this is going to be a great opportunity for Casey Mears in that number 98 car this weekend.
Again, we obviously hate to see something like that happen to Almirola, but the opportunity, you know, Casey Mears picks up a few more races. Is good for him, and hopefully we'll keep that team, you know, solid until Eric Almirola comes back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Who's your guy to win this weekend in the Xfinity Series?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what. I'm going to go with either. I'm going to take two. Darrell Wallace. Hopefully he can close out instead of finishing sixth. He'll get a win. Or I think Cole Custer could make a really, really good showing here.
He's been having some really great results. Again, it's a tough track, but I think you're right. Cole Custer has raced that track in the Can-Am Pro Series and the Camping World Truck Series. So it's not like this is a brand new track for him. And if he can bring some of that experience with him this weekend. And the other thing I can tell you about Cole Custer, he's a very methodical thinker. So he takes each of those times that he's out there on the track, and he's learning something from that that's going to help him the next time out. So I agree. I think Cole Custer is a good one to keep your eye on this weekend as a potential winner in that race. But I got to give it to, and it's hard to say that this guy's a veteran, but he's done well on a lot of different tracks this weekend or this year, and that is Kyle Larson in the Chip Ganassi track. I know they want to go after that win this weekend, so I'm going to pick Kyle Larson. He's the defending race winner, and I think he's going to. I think all these drivers are going to have to go through him to come home with a victory this weekend.
You can't argue with that.
Okay. It's time for us to move on to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The Exalta presents the Pocono 400 this Sunday, June the 11th. By the way, shout out to my granddaughter. She's going to turn 3 this Sunday, so that's her birthday. And that's at Pocono Raceway. Fox Sports 1, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio will be available starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But expect the race, and this always seems like such a long time, but expect the race to start at around 3 o'clock. They're racing 160 laps that are going to cover 400 miles at Pocono Raceway. And the lap gap here, stage 1 ends on lap 50, and stage 2 ends on lap 100, meaning that the final stage is going to end on the last lap, 160. So, stage racing has not disappointed us here in the Cup Series this season.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you there. You said your granddaughter's 3. We've been talking about the triangle, 3 different turns, and That fits right in with that.
It really does. And we call it's funny because you know how they used to call Dale Jr. Little E?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what we call, that's what we call my granddaughter, Little E. So
that's
kind
cool.
Of funny from that it's kind of funny from that perspective as well. So I know she's looking forward to her birthday this weekend. She's a Tinkerbell girl. So it's going to be all about Tinkerbell and pirates, I guess, this weekend.
Sounds like a fun weekend.
It does. You know, who's going to stop Jimmy Johnson? And he's good at Pocono, too. He's just breaking all the records. And as if his name wasn't already etched into the history books, he has a chance to come up with another win here at Pocono this weekend as well. What do you think? Is he going to be able to do that, come up with his 84th win this weekend?
Pocono has not been known to be one of his best tracks, but he's certainly capable of it. In 30 starts, he's got 3 wins, 11 top fives, 19 top tens, and an average finish of 10.6. You know, again, right now he's on top of his game. He's got the most wins with 3 wins this season, so he's one that you can't ever count out, even if he has to start from the back or has any problems.
Yep.
He always seems to find a way back to the front.
You know, I like Jimmy Johnson, so don't get me wrong. I really like Jimmy. I think we're watching history unfold before our eyes, and I think it's hard for fans to really appreciate what Jimmy Johnson is doing right now. But a lot of fans don't like, and myself included, don't like to see him win all the time. I kind of lose a little bit of interest when we know Jimmy Johnson's going to win again. So the driver that I'm kind of hoping is going to come up with another win this season is Martin Truex Jr. He was third last weekend at Dover for his third consecutive top three finish. During that three-way stretch, Truex has led more laps than any other driver and has won all three stages. He's in the number 78 Furniture Row Racing car, and he leads a lot of different categories in this series. The first 13 races of this season, he's 9 ahead of second-place driver Kyle Larson. It was stage wins. He has playoff points, 18, and an average running position of 7.1. His driver rating is at 114.3. His fastest laps one run, 455, which is about 12.5%, where he's had his fastest lap. And as far as top tens, he's got 9, and that is tied with Brad Keselowski, another really talented driver. He won at Pocono, by the way, in 2015. So don't count Truex out for this race this weekend.
Well, and even though he has the three wins and leads in that category, Jimmy Johnson is 6 in points, 414. That's 131 behind Martin Truex, who is now the points leader, which he took from Kyle Larson. So you got some guys that are definitely competing with him. And Larson is enjoying a breakout season, his fourth full-time Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series campaign. He got his first win last year where we thought there were a couple of spots where he could have, but this year he has come on strong, already having won a race out in California, but he's been dominant in multiple races. He led a race-high 241 laps in the AAA 400 Drive for Autism at Dover last week and got beat by Jimmy Johnson on the restart, and it was his fifth runner-up showing this year. So I know you talked about him being a contender in the Xfinity. I think he's going to be a contender here as well on the Cup side.
Yeah, that definitely is the case for Kyle Larson. He's another one of these drivers. Once he gets these tracks down, he's really tough to beat. But another driver that we're looking at here has a chance to maybe kind of turn the ship on his season. He's off to a little bit of a rough start, and his fans want him to have a final year that is going to be memorable. And Dale Jr. certainly wants to turn his season around at Pocono Raceway this weekend. It's a track where he's done well the last six seasons at this track. In 11 starts at Pocono, Dale Jr. has logged in 9 top 10 finishes, including 2 victories. He had the season sweep at that track in 2014 with a runner-up last June, runner-up finish last June. So I know Dale Jr. is going to try to make the most of that and see if Pocono can't be a track where he can kind of turn the ship and start getting some better results.
You know, and again, I don't think there's anybody out there that's a race fan that doesn't want to see him get a win, go to the playoffs, and finish his career at least in that era like Jeff Gordon did, of at least battling for the championship. And I think Pocono is a track where he can certainly get it done, as you mentioned. Now, he may have to go through Kurt Busch, who is last June's Pocono winner. Kurt has won there 3 times, logged 13 top fives, which is the active leader amongst active drivers, and recorded 18 top tens in 31 career starts. Now, Kurt Busch has kind of struggled after winning the season opening Daytona 500, which essentially locked him in. But since then, his only top five showing, the 500 was his only top five showing, where he only led 6 laps. But if he finishes in the top 10 on Sunday, he'll become the 25th driver in history to amass 250 or more top tens.
Wow. So definitely another driver to watch this weekend. And wouldn't it be great to see Kurt Busch come up with a victory this weekend? He's been knocking on that door, but he's another one he's not doing poorly, but he has not been a championship contender, if you know what I mean. So it would be great to see him come home with a victory this weekend. But his brother, can you believe Kyle Busch has never won at Pocono Raceway?
That is not something I would have believed.
It's one of two active tracks where Kyle Busch has never won in the Cup Series. Charlotte Motor Speedway, where they raced a couple of weeks ago, and Pocono. So Busch came close to notching a Pocono victory in August of 2015, but he actually ran out of gas while leading on the last lap. That has to be disappointing. He almost finally won at Charlotte 2 weeks ago, but in 24 Pocono starts, Busch has 4 top fives and 9 top tens, and he has an average finish position of 18.5.
Good thing we're not on Jeopardy, because I wouldn't have believed that. And when they talked about that at Charlotte, that he had not won a cup race there, I went through and tried to do my own research, because I really could not believe that.
Yeah, really. I've seen him and his brother race there, and I love the night races at Charlotte. You know how the Coca-Cola starts in the day and ends up at night, and you see the shininess on the cars, and it's really fantastic racing there. And I've seen them battle it out on that track. And I tell you what, it is hard to believe that he does not have a win at Charlotte nor at Pocono. So he could be a driver to keep your eye on this weekend too, because you know Kyle Busch is never happy until he accomplishes what his goals are.
I was going to say, I think he finished second and he was extremely unhappy.
Yes. That is true. Okay, now, do you know people that are going to be at Pocono this weekend?
I do not think I know anybody. I think anybody that I know that was going somewhere was going to Eldora for the dirt race. So.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, any fan who brings a Monster Energy cup or can, any size, and the idea is for those cans to be recycled, they're going to be given free admission to the Pocono Raceway on Friday. So make sure if you're going out to Pocono, don't forget to bring a Monster Energy can so that it can be recycled at the Redemption Center located on the outside of the fan fair behind the grandstands. So it's called Free Can Friday at Pocono. So don't forget to bring that so that you can contribute to this great opportunity to recycle within the community.
That's awesome. I had read something on that, that they were doing this. And, yeah, to not only do something for the fans by letting them in free, but also turn it into a positive of the recycling. That's a pretty cool program.
Yeah, I think it is too. And again, I think part of that is, you know, the whole marketing strategy between Monster Energy. It's a great way to engage fans there at the track and reward them as well for doing what they're doing as far as helping with the recycling efforts. Now, also, the Levine Family Racing is planning to honor the New York Fire Department Foundation at Pocono. So Michael McDowell, the driver, is going to honor the New York City Fire Department by sporting an FDNY Foundation paint scheme on his car at Pocono Raceway. So keep your eyes out for that this weekend because that's going to be a really big deal. The FDNY Foundation is a nonprofit partner that raises funds to support fire and life safety education and professional development and training of members in the Fire Department of New York. Funding goes toward programs that look to advance FDNY's goals and their goals of just maintaining the operational costs and outreach that it's really a great opportunity there. So keep your eye out for that this weekend as well.
Yeah, another very great program, and I love seeing teams that do things like this. There's been several throughout the year, and I know that the Levine family is one that takes every opportunity they can to promote things like this. So that's an excellent program.
Absolutely. Now I'm looking here. Josh Williams is going to be racing a Pocono in the Xfinity Series. So add that as one of the drivers to keep your eye on in the Xfinity Series as well. But getting back to the Cup Series, who's your driver to win this weekend, Jay?
Wow, this is one of those. I think I'm going to go with the fan favorite of Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think he's going to get his win and turn his season around here.
Oh, I think that's an excellent pick. And I would love to see Dale Jr. get a win this weekend at Pocono Raceway. And it will be kind of fun to see if he's able to do that. Pocono is not a bad track for Dale Jr., so it's certainly within the realm of possibility. But I think Jimmy Johnson, I hate to say it, and like I say, don't take me for a Jimmy Johnson hater because I'm just not. I like Jimmy Johnson. I think he's a great supporter of this sport, a great ambassador of this sport, and a great driver. I mean, you can't hardly say anything bad about Jimmy Johnson, but I do think he's going to be the driver to beat this weekend. But if I'm going to pick a driver that could come up with the win instead of Jimmy Johnson, I like your pick of Dale Jr. I'd love to see that, but I think Kyle Larson is going to be up there running for it too. But another driver is Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah,
and it may
all
not
of them
be
again.
His best track. Go ahead.
I was going to say all of them are. They're obviously weekly contenders. So yeah, this is one that's very hard to pick because there's four or five guys that really can dominate at that track.
Well, yep. It's a tricky triangle for a reason, as I said earlier, and it's going to be tricky for a lot of these drivers. Even the veterans find it challenging, but I think if we see some rookies do well at Pocono Raceway this weekend, that's going to be a really good sign of the kind of talent that they each have. So keep your eyes out for that at Pocono this weekend. Now, I want to get into the penalty report here. NASCAR came out with a penalty report after the racing at Dover. There were a couple of things that happened at Dover International Speedway. One of the big ones was Kyle Busch losing his tire, losing his wheel off of his car after the tire guy pushed the button inadvertently, and instead of screwing the nuts onto the tire, the gun was screwing them off of the tire. And by the time he realized it, it was a little late, and they didn't get those lug nuts tight on that tire. And when Kyle Busch took off, the wheel just came completely off. We weren't sure if there were going to be big penalties or if NASCAR was going to go easy on that Kyle Busch team. But it looks like they went a little bit easy. There was no monetary fine that was assessed to the number 18 team. But crew chief Adam Stevens and tire changer Jacob Seminara and also the carrier Kenneth Barber have all been suspended from participating in any NASCAR Series Championship points event through July 3rd of this season. So they're out for the rest of June. So they're going to be looking for people to step up and take those places. And this will kind of tell us just how deep that number 18 team is. As you know, this has not been one of Kyle Busch's best seasons. So, you know, to have that happen is pretty interesting. What I did notice here is they didn't assess any points. So they didn't assess any monetary fine. It's just the suspension of the crew chief, the tire changer, and the tire carrier for these next four events. So they'll be out through July 3rd of this season. So what are your thoughts there? Did they do the right thing, go too far, or not enough?
You know, I was kind of watching the time here because I knew that was a topic you said you wanted to get to, and I was kind of hoping maybe we wouldn't, because it's not very often that I totally disagree with NASCAR, especially when it comes to enforcing rules. But I think they made a mistake here. That rule, the intent of that rule, because the rule is only 2 years old, and the rule was put in place when they weren't requiring the five lug nuts. And so the intent of that rule was, if you only put on three lug nuts and your wheel came off, that's what the penalty was to assess. And again, it wasn't a monetary fine. It's a matter of safety, which, again, I'm all in favor of. But in this case, it wasn't that they were trying to circumvent that rule. The jackman didn't make sure both guys were done, you know, or getting that last lug nut on, maybe not, maybe tight or not, whatever, and dropped the jack early. So I think that they
go ahead.
I think the intent of that, the way the rule is written, I understand that they're enforcing it. But when you look at the intent of that rule and the situations that happened, it also happened with the, I believe, 29 truck of Brad Keselowski for Chase Briscoe. And that's another issue. But
we'll talk about that.
That intent, that intent of the rule to me just isn't what they're penalizing here.
And to me, these were human error mistakes. Jackman guy, but that was one of the mistakes that was made on that pit stop. But the other mistake was with that lug nut gun that they used to tighten up the lug nuts on the tire. The tire changer just made the mistake and hit that button, and instead of screwing them on, they were screwing them off. And by the time he realized it, he couldn't get them all on there in time to keep that tire on the car. I think this was a human error thing. It wasn't something done intentionally for a competitive advantage or anything. I know those guys feel really, really bad. And, you know, Kyle Busch, as if he needed something else to kind of challenge his team this season. But we'll see what he does at Pocono. Again, he's never won there. He wants to win there. Let's see how deep the organization is and if they can pull guys up to take those spots and not miss a beat for that number 18 team is going to be something to keep your eye on there. Now, the other thing, and you mentioned this earlier, this was in the Camping World Truck Series team. We mentioned Chase Briscoe had an issue with his number 29 truck. Again, it was tires and wheels. It was a safety penalty for improperly installed wheel that came off following the pit stop. Again, the crew chief Mike Hillman Jr., the tire changer Wesley McPherson, and the tire carrier Eric Pinklert have been suspended from all NASCAR championships points events through July 9th in the Camping World Truck Series here. So they can't even help other teams. They're being suspended from all national events. So, yeah, that's kind of disappointing there, too. What are your thoughts there from your perspective there? It's a little bit different, though, too.
To me, and I know on the 18 team that they talked that part of the reason for it was the air gun, as you mentioned. Brad Keselowski talked about on the truck team, you know, he's doing that. He's not bringing in a highly trained crew. He's giving guys, developmental guys, an opportunity to progress. So he was a little disappointed with that penalty. Again, both videos, if you watch, to me, it has to do with the Jackman, and I'm not trying to put all the blame on him either, but you know, he's only watching one side, to the right or the left. I think in the truck series, he was watching the rear tire and didn't check the front tire, because I think Chase Briscoe's was the front tire. Either way, you know, both tires weren't done, and he dropped the jack, which is the driver's signal to go. And I find it odd that in the suspensions, again, crew chief always takes a hit because he's responsible for the team. They took the tire changer and the tire carrier, but not the jack man.
Yeah, in both of those cases, they did not charge the jackman for that problem. And I guess, you know, recognizing that the tire carrier and the tire changer, those guys are the ones that are actually responsible for the lug nuts getting on that tire. So I'm thinking that's the reason why. But I hear your point. The jackman certainly had a part in that as well. Now, there was no air gun issue, though, with the 29, right?
No, that again, that was simply he was only watching, like I said, I believe in the truck series it was the front tire that came off. So he was only watching to the rear. When the rear was done, he dropped the jack and didn't check to make sure the front was complete.
Exactly. Now, what makes this even more interesting is that in the Xfinity series, they had a similar incident, tire and wheels, lug nuts not properly installed, for the number 19 team. In this case, this was a post-race. It wasn't during the race, but it was a post-race issue. And in this case, they did give a monetary fine of $5,000 to the crew chief, Matt Beckman. So a little bit different situation there in that this was a lug nut issue that was caught during the post-race inspection.
And that's where I believe the rule should be coming into play, because then you're talking about the rule being five lug nuts tightened and, you know, one of them could have shaken off during the race or whatever. I know that debate goes on about whether or not you can determine intent. You don't know, because you don't know if they tried to get away with only doing four. That's where I feel that rule should come into play. And I think the rule itself needs to be rewritten so that is clearer.
Yeah, perhaps so. And you know, NASCAR is ever evolving. So you never know. They may make some changes. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year. But certainly something for them to take a look at and consider moving forward. Now, what other news topics do you want to make sure we talk about here tonight?
I don't necessarily have any news topics that to cover. But as you know, I did go to that K&N Pro Series East Series race at Memphis. If you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, I wore my phone out. That was a phenomenal – they put on a phenomenal event there. I'm hoping it leads to better things. The drivers there, you know, some of them being 16, 17, and 18 – were so professional, so fan-friendly. They did a VIP lunch, question and answer period, an autograph session. It was just unbelievable, and they all handled themselves so well. It was just absolutely amazing. But, yeah, if you would check out my Twitter feed or Instagram at MoparMJ8 or Michael Hoosman on Facebook, you can see, and that's only like a quarter of the pictures that I got. It was an awesome experience.
So always a lot more fun to be at the racetrack, and we always encourage fans, if you're near any of these smaller racetracks, get out there to the track. Colorado National is a great example this weekend with the Can-Am Pro Series race. Get out to the track. If you're close to Pocono, get out to the track. And for those folks out there in Texas, get to the track, because there's a lot of difference between watching these races on TV and seeing them and hearing them and the sights and the sounds and the smells. It's all part of the race experience. You got to be at the track to really appreciate that. So, Michael, I think we've put another one into the books here for race fans here on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. I am looking forward to seeing these races this weekend. And Sal and I, as you know, will be back to review the racing that took place this weekend on Monday night for our NASCAR week, our NASCAR and Race Talk review of all of these tracks on Monday night, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then you and I, of course, will be back next Thursday for that weekend's preview. So a lot to look forward to here on Fan for Racing Radio.
Well, I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Okay, Michael. Enjoy your weekend of racing, Jay. And race fans that are listening, we hope you enjoy your weekend of racing. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Have fun now and be safe. Take care, Michael.
Have a good night.
Good night.